One Direction history on Today FM 1027. Allison Curtis with you. Weekend breakfast, as promised. Louise Lennox is in studio. How are you, Louise?
I am loving being in a studio. I have children. I can have adult conversations.
It's all good. Now, this is a topic that I'm going to admit we haven't touched on the show in a long while. Mm-hmm. And it's come up with a lot of people I've been speaking to. And it's, we say picky eating, maybe fussy is a nicer word. But will you tell us your background first and what led you to this? Because it's quite impressive. And then we're going to get through listener questions that have come in as well.
Oh my goodness. I find it hard talking about this without getting emotional because it's been a roller coaster ride for me. So I was the best parent before I had children, like most parents. And the one thing I thought I had nailed was feeding my child.
Because you're a chef.
Yes, of course. And that was my world, is my world. So had my son, he ate everything. And then at 20 months, I was just came back after filming the next season of The Restaurant. And he just stopped eating. And then, So the myth is, they'll grow out of it. And I was like, he'll grow out of it, it's no big deal. But he was getting worse really fast, to the point that at his worst he was only eating 10 foods, and I cannot exaggerate enough the guilt that I felt. And I bring him to my doctor. Her door was like revolving door, and she goes, we need to have a medical intervention there,
right?
He's not getting better. And that's when I went, I know if he ate he'd get better. And he's not eating. And I know how to feed people. I don't know how to make a child eat. You can't make anyone eat. So that's when I went over to America and trained with the number one world's leading expert in pediatric feeding disorder to specialise in fussy eating, because all I wanted to do was help my son eat.
Yeah.
And then I went back to college. I went back to college studying counselling and psychotherapy so I can help the parent, because the parents need as much support.
Absolutely.
As the children.
Yeah, and
you internalise the guilt.
And it's a scale. And obviously, you know, for some people, it's like the frustration of going, cutting up that butternut squash was an actual pain in the bum, and now you won't eat it. Right through to something as extreme as maybe you experienced. So at some point in our children's lives, we all face that kind of mealtime struggle. So, you know, what would be one? I mean, I'm imagining there's many causes of this.
There is so many causes. There is medical cause. Like, we use every single, like, seven organs in our body to eat. We don't think about it. Eating is a learned skill. This is like my big mind-blowing thing when I learned it. And there's so many factors that can affect why children might need. They might have oromotor problems. There could be sensory problems. There could be a lot of pressure at the table. There could be past negative associations.
Yeah.
They just mightn't like the look of it, or a really strong disgust factor reaction to food. So it's huge, the broad scale of it.
So it's the first step, identifying what might be the source.
The why, yes.
Yeah.
And for most people, this shows up when children are around 18 months old to 2.5, because they discover, I am not you, I am my own person, I want autonomy over my weight. Like teenagers, how do you get autonomy? Well, the answer is no, I won't do that, I don't like it. And food, because children can eat, decide to, we can't make them go to the toilet, we can't make them sleep, and we cannot make them eat. Those are evidence-based facts.
Yeah.
And so a child goes, oh, now I'm getting attention because my mom, Alison, wants me to eat the food. Well, now I'm not eating it. Now it turns into bargaining. But what the problem is we're actually not trained as parents how to feed our children. We're really not. We live in the world of the myth.
Yeah.
And that's what my mission now is, to tell all the world that the myths don't work, but there are better ways that can work.
Okay.
So normally around that age, and then if they don't grow out of it, which many children don't, then it snowballs. And then what was a little bit of picky eating can get really, really bad. Sometimes there's underlying causes, sometimes there mightn't be.
Okay, so you're actually starting a course on this in the evenings as well.
Yes, I am following my passion, and I've just launched my mealtime makeovers for picky eaters. I've got my February group of moms, parents at the moment, and I've launched my March through to June groups.
Brilliant.
Now. They're in the evenings, the kids are in bed, and you can do it in your own home.
It's Gordon's problem.
Yeah.
And tell us where people can find out information on that.
So you can go on to fussyeatingkids.com. That's my website.
Okay.
And I also have information on my Instagram page. That's at Louise Lennox.
Okay. And I'll share that myself as well. So what are the first steps to be taking? And then we're going to get to some of the questions.
So the biggest step, I actually would say, is let go of the pressure. And you have to build trust with your child. And people are going to go, but I just want them to eat the veg. Kids are really scared coming to the table, because when they see pre-plated food, they go, now my mum's going to want me to eat this. I don't want to eat this. And I know there's going to be a battle. Some kids come with high anxiety. And here's the fact, that when you come to a table and you feel pressurized, think about a job interview or exams, you actually switch
Shut
off
down.
Your appetite, because you raise your adrenaline. And so a lot of the time kids go, I'm not hungry. And they're scared, because if they make eye contact with the food, they're going to be forced to eat it. They don't know many kids what that texture is going to feel like in their mouth, and they're scared, so they don't want to eat it. So give them permission. All parents, big parenting moment here, to spit out food.
Okay.
I don't mean spit it across the kitchen.
Give them a napkin.
But role model, you show them, because they're not used to this. We're used to table manners. Don't chew with your mouth open. Don't spit out your food. If you were fed something and you knew you could spit it out, this is one of the things I do with my parents and my group, that if you can spit it out, it's not so scary anymore.
That's
number
what
one.
I did with all the pork chops in the 80s in Canada. I just couldn't handle it. And
were you allowed
to
spit it out?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was amazing. Yeah, God, your parents were so ahead of the
curve. I was a little bit subtle at times. Yeah. And then I actually went like, okay. And then, since then, I've been a vegetarian. So that was my thing. So can I get to the questions now, Louise?
Absolutely.
I have a five-year-old who's used to eating, and this seems to be a time of day thing. Mm-hmm. So during the day, they'll eat food, like chunky foods of bigger volume. And maybe chunky is not the most appealing word as well. This came in from Eva on Instagram. But at nighttime seems to traumatize him. And the only way I can get veg into him at dinner time is to blend it. I can't do that for the rest of my life. Any advice?
No. And when they're that young at five, they're still learning about foods. So that could be done with conditional cues. So what I'd like to know more about is like, what's going on for them during the day? Are they eating in a creche situation?
Yeah.
So with creche, what we know about children is they've got postural stability. That sound, you're kind of going, what's that? So where we're sitting now, when we sit down, we look to put our feet on the ground because we're posturally stable.
Yeah.
A lot of kids, when they're like in our home environments, if we don't have a chair that suits them, their feet are left dangling. So their executive functions, they're actually trying to stay upright, so they don't have a lot of concentration to focus on their food.
I have never heard of that. That's
we're
amazing.
In creche situations or schools, they're at lower tables and their feet are on the floor. They've got a nice back support.
Grounded.
And they're more grounded. They're also probably watching their little friends eating, so they follow peer role modelling. But also look at the situation at home. Are they really tired? If kids are really tired, or there's some meals they eat better at and there's other meals they don't eat so good at.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe try taking back the pressure, not making food the focus, and making the enjoyment of the meal the focus. It's really hard to learn that. That took me a long time to learn, but when
maybe
you can
get
let
a really
it go,
small chair as well.
Yeah. Or maybe try and cut it into different size portions, because maybe there's something about that piece of food that's overwhelming.
Yeah. Okay. And the other question that came in that was for a lot of people as well, as a child started school in September, they'll eat shreddies for breakfast and then rice cakes and rusk only Actimel like pouches for school. And they're worried that, you know, that can only go on for so long, and then other kids will start making fun of them that they're basically eating baby food still, but they won't have other kind of big pieces for their lunches.
So let's think about it. When you start anything new, it's really scary. Anxiety, as I said, shuts off appetite.
Yeah.
And this little kid is probably getting to a whole new difference in shifting. Some kids aren't comfortable eating around other kids, and kids can be very judgmental what's in lunches.
If they can.
What I would say is focus on getting a really good breakfast into them and a really good meal time, and give them in school their favourite foods that you know that they can eat confidently.
Okay.
And maybe try one slight noticeable difference. That's changing one slight thing. So if they buy a pouch, maybe try buying a different variety or a different brand of that pouch, so they don't come conditioned to only eating that pouch, because they can get burnout from that, and that's what we want to avoid.
Oh my God, you have to come back, Louise, because we're only scratching the surface.
It's been
Louise
my life
Lennox.
For 10 years. You have no idea.
Come back for sure. Thank you so much for your time
Thank
this
you
morning.
So much.
And if people have other questions, they can get them into us on 0874-100-102. You're an Oasis fan, right?
Oh yeah, I queued outside the old MTV when there are not MTV. What was it called again?
Virgin
Lenny?
Media Store to get the tickets.
HMV. Queued all night, the best night of my life when I was 18 and went down to Cork.
Yeah,
loved it.
Whatever on Today FM.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis on Today FM.